Louise, Olivia, Caroline, come on forward. Last month, a team from College Church traveled to Camden, New Jersey for a week of service learning alongside Urban Promise, an inner city ministry that reaches hundreds of kids through schools, trekker programs, summer camps, after school clubs, employment and mentoring opportunities, and more. Urban Promise also works with indigenous leaders from around the world to help launch new and strengthen existing nonprofits that serve kids who are growing up in poverty. So we're going to hear from a few of our teammates. Come on up, Louise.
Remember the mic. Good morning, College Church, and those of you online. Yes, I decided last winter that I was never going to take another trip. God gave me one in April to Samaritan's Purse, and then we started talking about a vision trip to Camden, and I thought, no, I guess that's not in the place for me. And then I remembered it was Urban Promise, and I have a heart for Urban Promise for some people in Uganda. And so at 80, I said, oh my goodness, I'm going to be with teenagers. But God provided that each one of them in their own way would help me from now to then. So we started meeting, and I said to Bill, I want to see Hudson when I'm there, because I know he's here getting ready with his project to take back to Uganda to set up a high school. And Bill says, I don't think they're there. I said, okay, my friends tell me that they are. So we got together, we went down Monday night, the first full day. We had dinner in the Urban Promise house, and I think you cooked, and Nate, because we cooked most of our own meals, or she did. But yes, a few minutes later, in walks Hudson. The whole reason I had gone on the trip, and we sat and we talked for an hour. As some of you know, Millie, who is also a Urban Promise fellowette, I don't know what they call the girls. So Hudson and I got to know each other, and he shared his dreams for the school, a high school he wants to set up, and he let me tell about different things that I do. So that was nice, and then we had dinner, and he and a guy from Malawi explained what the program was. A couple days later, we were eating lunch out in the picnic tables under the shade, and Hudson comes back, or he was already there, I was late, and he had a cell phone. And he had Millie on the cell phone in Uganda. And so I was able to talk to her. This is how God blessed me on this trip. He made these connections. I got to get Hudson's email. We'd email back and forth. This morning, Bill sent Hudson's August letter. I said, hey, and he agreed with me. I got the letter the same time he did. I'm on Hudson's mailing list. So that's my part of Urban Promise with these fellows. They send me their letters. I pray back. So that was one blessing of the trip. The second one was I wanted to work with somebody. Oh, I wanted to see my friend Sam up there. I wanted to get to know Sam better. And we had an afternoon project, and I'm not outside because of my skin cancer, and I'm not painting walls, but I had an office project. And in comes Sam of the other eight people in the team just to be with me. And we worked together, and we did this project. Thank you, Sam. And God had it to be a wonderful conversation time. At the third point under this umbrella of blessings, one by one, I got to meet, kind of in a special way, everybody on the team. And I don't think he's here today, but Weston. We were having dinner, and you know, the old lady doesn't necessarily connect with the young kids because there were four of them, they partnered up. But we're eating dinner in the restaurant the one time we ate out, and he sat across from me. And at some point he said, Louise, how are you doing? And I just thought that was wonderful that he would actually stop for a minute to know how I was doing. So those are my three blessings. God called me on this trip. I'm sure of that, because he wanted me to connect with Hudson, spend time with Sam, and meet some other people in church. So this is my verse that I want you to remember. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He who calls you is faithful, will also do it. And he did it over and over and over. So my question is, where is he calling you? Thank you.
Hi, I'm Olivia Damon. So last summer, I went to Camp Berea, and the theme of the week was send, based on Isaiah 6:8, here I am, Lord, send me. I decided there that when the opportunity for me to go on a missions trip came, I would go. At Urban Promise, I was able to serve other people, so it was so easy to love on the children. My favorite part of the trip was devoting time to them every morning. God showed me joy through working with the youngest kids and the sweetest street leaders who were their camp counselors. I'm so thankful that I could have the experience of serving this summer. So I also felt cared for by the people who wanted to teach me and share their vision for transformation in the city. Everyone who was there to teach our team was so eager to share with us. I learned that God wants us to reach out to other people in need. He really cares about the people in the city. I learned that the social issues in the city of Camden are really complex, so it could seem like a simple problem becomes really difficult to solve as you see how everything is interconnected. Finally, I want to remember that I can be active in loving my own community, and I think it might be easier than I expect. Thank you.
And I'm Olivia's mom, Caroline Damon, and when she wanted to go on this trip, I was happy to say yes. I was excited by the idea of an intergenerational trip, and that was just part of what God wanted to show me during our time. God reminded me how large and diverse his church around the world is through getting to know the International Fellows. A highlight was when they helped us learn and sing a song of worship from Malawi in one of our devotional times. In the mornings, we volunteered at one of the local camps Urban Promise runs around the city. Being outside in the sun for a kickball tournament, canoeing down the river with kids for the first time, and watching the campers' excitement playing dodgeball and other silly fun games in the gym reminded me of God's story of faithfulness in my own life through camp experiences. God also showed me the importance of showing up. By being present with the campers, asking questions, and learning about them, seeing them open up when given the chance, reminded me of the relationship God wants to have with me. And spending one morning helping organize and prepare their local food co-op reminded me I can get involved at home too, helping serve people in my own neighborhood. Overall, this trip helped me remember how God is compassionate for all his people. He's sovereign and faithful, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to have gone.
Well, I want to say props to our team. We really had a beautiful team. I would describe them as being incredibly positive, kind, flexible, hardworking, humble, eager to learn, willing to grapple with difficult realities and what the gospel says to some of the most pressing issues of our day. So I was just really impressed with and really grateful for our team. Urban Promise has been around for 38 years. They are at a point now where every major leader in the organization is homegrown, meaning they all used to be camp kids from the city. I think that speaks to their commitment to leadership development and the power of relationships over time. Our first night there, we were having dinner with some members of the broader Urban Promise community. And I met a woman who used to be in the legal field, and she got to a point a few years ago where she says, I can't keep giving myself to this anymore. This is why God put me on this planet. And she began reflecting on when have I felt like my life counted? When have I felt like my life had meaning? And she remembered when she was a kid growing up at Urban Promise, and so she called them and started volunteering. And fast forward a few years, she's now teaching at their elementary school, and she's never been more joyful. And she was just so excited to share with us the joy of saying yes to God when he called her back to that community. So in an age of quick fixes and techniques, I think what really changes lives, what really brings healing and joy and meaning, are relationships over time. And I'm just grateful that we have this relationship with this organization that places love for God and love for people at the center of everything that they do. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Tricia, come on up. Well, Tricia, you and your family have been attending here for a few months, and we've actually known you for quite a while because you've spoken at College Church in the past and really shared some of your heart and expertise with us in some really meaningful ways that we'll get into in just a minute. But you work for an organization called WARM. Can you tell us what WARM is and what it is that you do and who you serve?
So WARM is, we serve refugees, and we do that in a very variety of ways. We do it through very practical things, like helping with English learning and practicing English, driving practice, helping people navigate the different systems that they have to figure out in the United States, and just a whole variety of things. I am the program manager of Western Mass, and I kind of oversee all the work that's happening in the area. We pretty much are just servicing Afghans, Iraqis, and Syrians, because that's kind of where the greatest need is at this time.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about why WARM exists and what needs aren't being met in other ways by other people?
Yeah, so WARM exists to be the bridge between the local church and the refugee communities. So we do, we develop relationships with the refugees, and we try to partner church people with the refugees because we believe that we bring something very unique. There are organizations that are working with refugees in the area, but we bring our love for Jesus, and we really prioritize and emphasize friendship and hospitality. So yes, there are all kinds of other programs helping refugees, but that's kind of what makes us unique.
Yeah, well, that's a beautiful distinctive. Mm-hmm. Hey, anything exciting happened at WARM this past year?
Well, yes.
You put that softball on the tee.
Yes, we have a WARM center that just opened up. We had our grand opening on August 9th, and it's on 520 Main Street, West Springfield, in the most condensed immigrant community in the area. Refugees generally are spread out through four different cities, but this is like the highest concentration. So we are right in the center of this community. We're amongst halal markets that everyone in the surrounding cities come and shop at. And so we have people coming and going and stopping in, and the excitement that the refugees feel is very large right now. And that's because of the generosity of this church. There's no way we could have began a center if it wasn't for this church that really has been so generous to us.
That open house was thrilling.
Yeah.
to see your space and the whole block just filled with hundreds of people who were thrilled to see that break ground. Yeah. That was really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are there things for as long as WARM has existed in Western Mass, you've been meeting in homes and churches wherever you can find space. So what are you hoping that this new location opens up for you? What's possible now?
Yeah, we have borrowed a lot of space over time, mostly met in a lot of homes, and we've outgrown those homes. So I think it's going to allow us to expand some of our programs. We have some existing programs that we've been doing, but now this will allow us to have a women's play group, a men's ESL group that meets on Sundays. We'll have more women's wellness groups, a therapeutic art class for teenage girls. So more programs, but also when I was there maybe a month ago, I had the door open and was just kind of doing some things, and these little girls went past on their bikes, and they peeked their heads in and said, "Is this going to be your home?" And I said, "Oh, no, but this is exactly what we wanted. We wanted people to feel like it has like that design of being something that would be familiar to them back home. So we've designed it in a way that is familiar to them and feels like home. So we want them, we want to be able to invite them into the space and make them feel at home.
Yeah, it's a wonderful space, and you could see how they were responding to it. It was really great. Yeah. Can you tell us a story or two about some interactions your people have had with immigrants?
Yeah, I think one of my favorite stories has been in the last year and a half. You know, we do very practical things, but God uses all those practical things. And I think that a big reminder of that was when I had asked one of our volunteer men, and there was a need. We had a family that was new, and it was in December, and it was around Christmas, and I couldn't find any other volunteers who really had the capacity to do it. And so this man stepped up and said, I can bring this family to go grocery shopping. And so it ended up being just the man from Afghanistan, and he brought him grocery shopping. And as they were chit-chatting, as you do in the car, my friend said what he was doing for the weekend. And this Afghan man, who apparently came as an atheist, said, when he said that he was going to be going to church the weekend, he said, oh, I have so many questions for you. And so they started to talk about who Jesus is, and this man had an opportunity in this car on the way to the grocery store to ask all the questions that had been burning on his mind while he was in Afghanistan. And that led to this man, over a series of several months of, you know, kind of meeting together, reading the Bible together, and this man was baptized in this volunteer's bathroom, and then this man has been walking with the Lord ever since, and so that's been about a year and a half. So
I think you're, yeah. I think your sign prompted an interesting conversation recently, didn't it?
Yeah. So at the open house, you know, as I said, we mostly have Afghan, Iraqis, and Syrians, but we had a sign for the open house that said, you know, welcome. And that Welcome Center, Welcoming Alliance for Refugee Ministry, which is what WARM stands for, and this these two teenage girls from Tanzania had been riding their bikes by, and they stopped, and they kind of found someone that looked a little bit like them, and they said, tell me more about Jesus. I've been wanting to know. And apparently after this man had spoken to them a bit, they had been given a Bible. I don't know what the time frame was, but a while ago, and the two teenage girls had been really thinking through and reading this Bible. Their family was Muslim, but they had so many questions, and so this man was able to kind of talk through and get their number, and just hopefully that we'll have some more further conversations with them.
That's really cool.
Off the street.
So what kinds of things do volunteers do with WARM?
Well, we have people that are brave and courageous and help people learn to drive. That's not my gifting, so my husband does it. So I'm very grateful for the people that do it. Sometimes it's going into homes and reading mail. I mean, if you think about the amount of mail that we get, that if you don't have the language to tease through what is to keep and deal with and what's trash, so we do that. We do programs so volunteers can help with transportation, help with childcare, befriending a family, just going in and sitting and listening to people's stories and making friendships. It's pretty much whatever people have the capacity and the interest and skill to do.
Yeah, beautiful. Awesome. If someone wants to learn more or visit the center, or volunteer, what can they do?
Yeah, so my email is in the bulletin. You can also go to our website and learn more about what WARM does, or come see me after and any Sunday.
Yeah, and then finally, how can we pray for WARM and the community that you serve?
We're kind of starting a lot of our programs in around the second week of September, so that's like a big time of launching everything. So just, you know, strength for the volunteers as they start. Some of them are new, and this is kind of scary that they would have just the comfortability that they need, and that just all of us would be able to welcome well and to love well this season.
Awesome. Well, let's pray now. Gracious God, thank you so much that this new space is up and running, and that you made that possible this year, and we got to play a role in that. Thank you for the relationships that are already beginning to form through this center. And we lift them up as their fall launch begins in a couple of weeks. God, pray for their staff and their volunteers, that they would have courage and clarity about how to represent Jesus well and how to serve well and how to be a hospitable presence in that neighborhood. And we pray for these men and women and children that you are bringing to them, that they would experience your love through your people, and that they would find friendship and help and grace, and that they would be able to contribute to that community and contribute to each other's lives as these friendships grow and develop over time. And God, if you're calling some of us to explore more or to participate in some way, would you make that clear to us and give us the courage to say yes and obey? And we are confident that there's joy and fruit waiting on the other end of that. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Tricia. Appreciate you. So two more stories. Eric Targan, come on up, my friend.
Good morning. My name is Eric Targan. Some of you know me, some of you probably don't. Although my wife, Darlene, and daughter, Hannah, and I have attended and been members of College Church for many years, in recent years, our circumstances have kept us from attending in person on a consistent basis, although we do try to stay connected to our small group and watching online. For the past 5 or 6 years, our family has been through a series of severe trials. Although we have suffered much, and this season of trials is not over. Oops, sorry. Get closer. Okay, thank you. It's funny, I used to be in front of microphones all the time, and I'm way out of practice, so sorry about that. We have seen God at work through it all, and it is He who sustains and blesses us in the midst of the trial. While I will not be sharing the details of all of our trials, I will be discussing a couple of them. The pandemic was hard for everyone. In our case, we actually had to move to upstate New York for 5 or 6 months during 2020 to act as caregivers for our elderly parents. We are now down to one parent and have help. Still, much of the responsibility falls on us, which means ongoing frequent trips to New York for caregiving and crisis management. It's funny, one of the things I was going to talk about is not to plan for anything, and so this microphone feedback is just kind of confirming that for me. I always think things are going to go a certain way and always go the opposite, so it's kind of funny, actually. We are now down to one parent and have help. I read that already. Still, much of the responsibility falls on us, which means ongoing frequent trips to New York for caregiving and crisis management, all while dealing with our own health issues and other challenges. We have endured this and many other things, often in a state of physical and emotional exhaustion. In March of 2023, I was at home when the room started spinning. I passed out, got a concussion, and spent 5 days in the hospital. It was determined that I had a weak heart. And several months later, I got a pacemaker after several more fainting spells. Fortunately for me, I married a woman who's much smarter than I am. It's true. I and some of our doctors at the time thought that since I now had a pacemaker and was no longer passing out, well, everything was good. Darlene, however, insisted there was a deeper problem. We ended up seeking medical help in Boston. There it was determined that I have sarcoidosis, an inflammatory condition which can affect different parts of the body. In my case, it chose to attack my heart. Finally, despite various attempts to improve the situation, in December 2024, it was determined the sarcoidosis had, in effect, destroyed my heart. I was admitted and was convinced by our medical team that a heart transplant was my best option. On January 27th, I underwent a successful heart transplant and was discharged in mid-February after nearly 2 months in the hospital. I should mention that by the grace of God, a donor match was found in less than 3 weeks after I was listed. Overall, my recovery has gone well, but there are ongoing challenges. I would like to examine a few scriptures which I find relevant to our situation, and hopefully to some of yours as well. James 1, 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds.
My typical pattern is when I see a trial approaching, I look for a way out, which God in his mercy does sometimes provide. But when the trial hits, my usual next response is, I will get through this. I will survive this. But I never consider it joy, which is what you are called to do. It is one of many lessons I'm learning. As long as my feelings are controlled by my circumstances and not by the underlying joy of fully trusting in Christ, I have not internalized this lesson. James chapter 4, verses 14 through 17, part of that passage. You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. Instead, you should say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. We have learned to not count on anything or anyone other than God. We have learned that, to paraphrase Robert Burns, the best laid plans often go astray. It's fine to have hopes, dreams, etc., but everything should be secondary to God's will. In Matthew 26, Jesus prays three times, beseeching the Father. He does not want to go to the cross. But in the end, he submits to the Father's will. All that matters is doing the Father's will. I did not want to undergo a heart transplant, and I wept before God, pleading for another way. But it was his will, and he gave me what I needed to bear up under it. One of my favorite passages in the Bible, I was going to say 2 Corinthians, but decided not to, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. After Paul pleads three times, as Jesus did, for his thorn in the flesh to be taken away, the Lord's response, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, is the same to us today. It is always the opposite with God. The world honors fame, riches, and celebrity, not humble servanthood. The world honors strength and power, not weakness. But only when we acknowledge our own weakness and God's serenity do we come to a full understanding of this truth. God may or may not take away our thorn in the flesh, whatever that may be. He may not give us the easy way out or grant us our dreams. But the building of character, perseverance, and faithfulness are in the end better than the quick fix our flesh craves. May his grace be sufficient for us. May his power be made perfect in our weakness. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Eric. All right, Marie, it's your turn.
Good morning, College Church. My name is Marie Willems. I'm the daughter of Pierre and Dina, who are pretty famous around here. This year has been one of the hardest and most rewarding years of my life. In July of 2024, I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, a form of lymphatic cancer. In less than a year, I was able to finish my treatments, be in remission, go to Smith, and finish my sophomore year having resumed all of my clubs and social activities. Through this all, I have been grateful and lucky to have received incredible generosity, to have witnessed a community of support, and to have made new community and connections with others. Something that I am certain was from God was a close friendship that I made with a girl from the same town, only 2 years younger than me, who was also diagnosed with cancer and going through treatment in the same hospital. To have someone my own age I could talk to about nausea, chemo, hair loss was truly essential to keeping me afloat. And I know I helped her in the same way. Though this past year, from August to August, was not what I expected, I can still see the ways God has used me and supported me and my family through probably the worst experience of my life. My relationship with God during this time shifted as I started to have a regular prayer life. This was in part because of leading a Bible study on prayer with Smith Christian Fellowship, but I also felt that I had a reason to pray, which I know is probably not the best reason to have started. Thankfully, I've continued to speak to God much more frequently, and I definitely have just craved getting to actually learn about who he is. Finally, I wanted to extend my gratitude to everyone here at church. Please know that your prayer, cookie delivery, or many care packages were not unnoticed. I wish I could thank everyone personally, but the truth is that I couldn't even name everyone who was praying for me, which I think is the pretty picture of what the kingdom of heaven looks like here on earth. Though I would never, ever want to go through this again, there is so much to be grateful for, and I feel that my life has been shifted and directed in a way I never expected, but that has ultimately made me kinder, more grateful, and in awe of the life that I have. Thank you.
Let's pray. Well, God, I feel full. And this is just a taste of the ways in which we've experienced your faithfulness, your faithful love this past year. Oh, we're so grateful for these lives that you have touched, the healing, the provision, the hard-earned wisdom, your Holy Spirit calling and sending and shaping and renewing us. Thank you. Thank you. May it continue. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.